justice for all.
Welcome everybody to the first regular meeting of 2023. We're off to a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Like I said, just previous at 6, we had our organizational meeting, but we'll start out with our agenda tonight. So, minutes to be accepted. We have a December 6th meeting, which was a town board monthly meeting, and we have December 20th town board committee meeting. So, we need a motion to accept those minutes.
Motion
by Patrick and second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Correspondence. First one up, we have this Green County Resolution 444-22 chargeback election-related services material for Catskill's share was $32,837.29. 445-22, authorizing delinquent water, sewer, sidewalk charges added to the assessment roll. Catskill was $123,494. Next resolution was 448-22, authorizing levy of omitted taxes. Next one we have is 449-22, town levies. Next is 450-22, authorizing re-levy of unpaid school taxes for 2022. Next resolution from the county was resolution 412-22, authorizing chairman of the Green County Legislature to enter into a pilot with ELP Solar LLC. And I do have a copy of that list today if we want to scan it. But we did our didders already, correct?
We did, yes.
And on that, I think that's $87.50 per megawatt or kilowatt, I guess it is. So we don't really enter into a negotiations per se. It's in our town code. Now, so if they're coming to town, they know, and the county has the same resolution, so they know what that cost is beforehand. And it's just a little bit, kind of regular we were with Bovar Solar in the same way.
Did they pass that resolution list? Because there's no...
The county? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's right there. They just got...
All right, because on this it doesn't show the roll call and everything.
I just got that before it came out.
It was moved for adoption by Gregory Lewis and seconded by Linda Overball.
Okay.
It was unanimous.
Okay.
Next one we had is just a letter from Central Hudson regarding routine line clearance program, which they usually do that pretty much every year, send us out a notification that they what they do. We have an email from Ryan Stake or Stack regarding information or regarding formation of a Conservation Advisory Council in the town of Catskill, and there's a few undersigned residents on that as well, which will be in your email if you look. Email from Elliot Nados regarding the passage of a town resolution for the Clean Slate campaign, which is a nonpartisan campaign that would automatically seal the conviction record of a New York State resident, sealing Mr. Nieners for 3 years after sentencing and 7 years after a felony conviction, to relieve civil barriers to employment, housing, and etc. So that was a correspondence we had as well this month, or in December. And then we had the Heart of Catskill Association Music in the Park donation request for $2,500. Next one, is here tonight, is request for a waiver of a 30-day hold on the liquor license application for the Barn Room Restaurant. We have a letter from Judge Jacobs and Paulino, inspection of the court records and documents as required by Section 209-H of the Uniform Justice Court Act. Letter from the Associations of Town regarding the 2023 annual business meeting and training school February 19th to February 22nd in New York City. And that's our correspondence. Oh, and I'll just add this one because this came in up. We can get this too. It was a good thing. So, and I think they already part of the copy, George. But if we could scan it and send it out to the board, it would be good. I can do that tomorrow. I'll have Liz do it. But this is from Madame McCarthy. He lives in Palin Hall on 23A. So it was a nice thing. So I hope this finds you well on the evening of December 25th. I placed, so it's Christmas Eve, I placed a 911 call for for a medical emergency at my house in Palinville. Within minutes, both the Palinville Fire Department and the Catskill Ambulance arrived. We are really in good hands with both these teams, possess total integrity and focus. I greatly am awed by the Palinville Fire Department and the County of Catskill Ambulance Service and wanted to let you know. So it's nice that whenever, and it is good news because there's been a lot of stressor on EMS as far as staffing and waves at hospitals, but it's nice to hear the good stories as well. And we mostly have good stories, so that's a good news. But it's nice that somebody took the time now to recognize our team at the ambulance. Okay, that's pretty much what I got on the agenda tonight. I mean, we can, I would like to entertain a resolution for the barn. Let's have a resolution to waive the 30-day liquor license requirement for the application for the barn with restaurant. So we need a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Dawn.
Second.
Second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. So that's a good thing to help our local businesses out. I guess that's all I have for tonight. It's pretty straightforward. Questions or concerns or anything I'd like to talk about?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I'm, wanted to just bring to everyone the idea of what Clean Slate is about. This is a postcard by the Clean Slate committee. And I just want to say that, I'm sorry. Clean Slate is an issue of community safety and economic opportunity. It's about, taking away the perpetual punishment that people who have done their time are consistently in. This does not seal their records from police or anything, any kind of job that requires their fingerprints or anything that's been done like to a child or anything like that. This is about a person who, let's say, went to jail for marijuana. You know what I mean? And like, after 3 or 7 years of doing their time, this will close their, publicly close their records so that they can get out of the house, so that they can try to get a mortgage, so they can try to get a job without having that that punishment still weighing on them. This also affects their children, because if their children are not able to have a better life, and we really are just trying to change that discourse for them. There are 2.3 million New York citizens right now that have conviction histories, and the overwhelming majority are poor, black, and brown. As a result, the conviction records disproportionately impact the marginalized communities and create the racial inequalities that we see existing today. There are a lot of organizations and business leaders like JP Morgan Chase, Verizon, and Microsoft that are for this bill. Local governments have already passed it in Westchester, Buffalo, Poughkeepsie, Rochester, Saratoga, Albany, and New York City. What we're asking the town board today is to consider passing this resolution, which puts pressure on our assembly to pass this this year.
Is there a draft law already drawn up for this?
Yes, there is.
Can you send that to us?
Yes,
it's already.
It was sent to the email.
I didn't see the draft. I saw everything else.
I saw the resolution.
The resolution was in that.
The resolution.
Oh, you're talking about the actual.
The actual bill that's in all.
Yeah. The bill numbers are on there.
I think you can scan this.
Okay.
Pop right up in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I can also add on a few more details if you have any other questions. But Elliot really just gave a wonderful summation of what Clean Slate would do. So essentially, 2020, a study was done on how many New Yorkers have criminal backgrounds. And this was at the towards the beginning of COVID-19. And that was about 2.3 million New Yorkers. So we know that after COVID-19, that number probably most likely increased by a lot, especially since they released a lot of people. And a lot of people started to gain criminal backgrounds themselves during that time. So this is something that, as Elliot explained, will not go into effect for a person until after they complete post-release. If you all aren't familiar with parole and post-release, most of the times a person will be on parole for about 5 years. So the time frame for their record to be sealed will not start until after they complete their sentence, they complete the parole supervision, and once parole supervision has cleared them, does the 3 and 7 years start.
Now, is it automatic or do they have to apply?
No, it's automatic. So this is the point of Clean Slate, is to allow there to be an automatic selling process and getting away from our current application process, which a lot of individuals really can't afford. And we know that that creates a barrier, not only themselves, but also the next generations that they are raising. We live in a cycle of continuous poverty where we kind of have this system that once a person commits a crime, and we statistically can see most people commit crimes because they're under financial distress, once a person commits a crime, they're now excluded from housing, educational opportunities. A person with a drug felony, can't apply for even a student loan, or nor could they become a real estate agent if they wanted to. So it also excludes them from job opportunities as well. And we know that once you place these barriers on a parent, it also makes it hard for them to provide these types of luxuries for their children and send their kids off to college, etc. So Clean Slate is trying to make it an automatic selling process for individuals. And it's a ceiling, not a full-out expungement, as other states like Connecticut has a full-out expungement. They also count the time frame where a person is incarcerated towards their time compensation. So New York, when we're looking at our bill, is not as progressive as other states. We went through a lot of different drafts working with legislators as well as even the educational department and other entities in the state to really create a more honed-in bill that's built for the community as well as trying to solve the issue that we're trying to solve.
So what happens if you commit a crime while you're, after we give you a clean slate, and does it revert back to what you previous work?
So just to really understand your question, you're saying after a person completed their sentence, completed their time on parole, and completed the 3 or 7 years from that their completion of parole, and then they committed a crime. So essentially after about 12 to 20 years, you're saying a person committed a crime, what happens then?
Right, so if we're wiping the slate clean for them, right?
When they go in front of the court, their record is still visible by the court. Because it was sealed, it wasn't expunged, and the court has access to all those records as well as law enforcement. And this can be during the appeal process, this can be a completely new case, or this can be in conjunction to the same case, let's say a person violates a restraining order or something like that. So law enforcement can still see this in jobs that do federal background checks and fingerprinting, like all the jobs that involve vulnerable people, they'll be able to see those. And sexual offenses aren't involved in this at all, so they're all excluded from really being able to see this as a criminal.
But it just seems like a broad stroke. I mean, you're talking about violent felonies, so, violent crimes, murder.
As myself, I was 15 years old when I was charged with assault in the first degree, and both of my co-defendants testified that I did not hit the victim. I was still charged with assault in the first degree. I still ended up doing 7 years in prison, and at 28 years old today, I'm still persecuted from what happened when I was 15 years old. Eddie Gibbs, being an assembly member out of East Harlem, he has a murder on his record. It's manslaughter now after he pled guilty, but he did 15 years, and he has a manslaughter. So when we're looking at felonies, is it to judge the actions of a person that they committed again at minimum 12 years ago, at maximum 20 years ago, where they have been able to really show and prove that they have not recited or will plan to recite. And these are individuals that have all the barriers against them. So still excluded from housing, still excluded from education, still excluded from employment. Does it make sense for us to not allow these people after they've shown that they do not plan to go back to prison? Does it make sense for us to 20 years down the line continue to deny them access to these things that essentially help reduce the recidivism rate and reduce the overall crime rate.
I'm curious if anybody's looked at parole records. Like, my friend's a parole officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably, I'd say 80% of the time, nobody gets to that 5-year point if they're going to do a crime.
Yes, exactly.
They're already back in.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm curious to know, like, if there's, like, numbers to show that. Like, for all the people who have gone seven years, or 5 years on parole and however many more years after that, how many of those people have actually then committed the crimes and ended up back in the system? And that would be really...
Yeah, what's the percentage of repeat? Say you're out for, whatever. And I mean, I'm a little familiar with it as well. You know, I have family members that worked in Coxsackie back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, one, and I'll be honest, I had an uncle that was actually an instructor out there, and we actually even, an inmate or somebody that was convicted of a crime needed a job to come out, and we would actually some were success stories, to be honest with you, and some became family members, and others, they did work out. So, well, I mean, I think maybe what Dawn is kind of alluding to. I mean, what's the percentage of the person, after 3 years, is it an 80% turnaround? I think that's what we're asking a little bit, right? Dawn, like after that.
So, is that the 2.7 million? Is that the number of people
who currently have criminal backgrounds and are walking around
and have not recidivized?
Right. So, when we're looking at when we're looking at, like, okay, is a person going to commit a crime? Are they going to commit a crime? If a person is going to commit a crime, they're going to commit a crime. Clean slate only affects those who have not committed a crime and continue to not commit crimes. And if they commit a crime, any time during that time, their records will be visible. The investigation will continue to proceed as the investigation would proceed. This literally does not affect anyone besides individuals like myself and others who are trying to embark upon a second chance, provide for their children, get a job, a real estate license, or things like that, really be able to contribute back into society. Or I'm not really trying to stick to the current system of just like, okay, you committed a crime 20 years ago, you're still going to pay for that when you're 60. And that system, when we're keeping people, it's like legal segregation, where we're allowed, because we know that the numbers really affect those who are black and brown, and when we're literally segregating them from housing, from job opportunities, from educational opportunities, we're replacing the word, we're replacing one derogatory term with inmate or felony or felon, and we're putting these signs up that keeps them out and stop them from being able to get into society, where individuals are showing that they can actually, like, succeed in society. That's why the numbers, as you said, is we know statistically a person after completing 5 years without an infraction will not commit an infraction. So 7 years, we're even being safer. And then this 7 years does not even start until after they complete their time on post-release and after they complete their time incarcerated. So a person, again, on just low number, it will be about 20 to 12 years. So these individuals that are receiving clean slate as an automatic ceiling are individuals who have earned it, deserve it, and need it.
Has New York State parole endorsed it? If the parole system or the federal parole, has any of the,
We've had an amazing amount of law enforcement back this.
Even in Columbia County and Ulster County, we had sheriffs who had actual, like, they spoke on it not only from a law enforcement point of view, but also from a personal point of view.
Yeah.
Because not only are they police officers, both sheriffs, working in law enforcement, arresting the bad guy, they have family members who come home from prison trying to get back into life. And one of the sheriffs in Ulster County, he actually mentioned his cousin who was afraid to apply for a higher position in his job, even after he already secured employment, just going into a higher position made him nervous because of his criminal background. He was afraid to go into that. Myself, I've been denied multiple jobs until I found a career in speaking up for other people. It's really hard for an individual who has a criminal background. Again, if a person has a criminal background, they can't even get a federal loan to go to school to continue out with their education. However, individuals can get waivers to join the Army. It just really makes it very hard for an individual to provide for themselves and their children. There are so many people who are released from prison and their families still live in public housing, and they're denied access to that housing because of their family, their felony. That breaks apart families.
So we're talking more felons than misdemeanors.
No, we're talking all people, but that right there was specifically regarding
more
felons. That part right there.
Yeah, that part
was more
right
felons.
Because this works for felonies and misdemeanors. So we're talking about New Yorkers.
But we're saying if you have a misdemeanor conviction that it's difficult to get into public housing
when you have misdemeanors, it can make it difficult embarking on several different ventures of life. Jobs and housing are a few of those.
There are applications that say have you ever been convicted, period. And this will take away that. You know what I mean? If they're with the clean slate, it would take that away. It would allow them to the opportunity to get into housing, allow them the opportunity to get a job. And that's what we're trying to do.
Right, so, but this is only going to be a state law, right?
Yes, this is going to be a state law.
So what's going to happen on the federal end? Because most public housing is federal, right?
Yeah,
clean slate is going federal as well.
Clean slate is already in the works on a federal level. We got it passed, and like I said before, other states have already passed this. New York is actually, not only are we not as progressive as other states, we're actually moving slow on the game when it comes to stating our moral.
Yeah.
Don't they have quite a few sponsors already at the New York Senate and Assembly?
Yeah.
We
passed last year out of the Senate.
Out of the Senate.
Last year, out of the Senate, we passed the Assembly. Due to the elections going on and redistricting, it kind of really messed us up when it came to the Assembly. However, since then, we've gotten seven or eight resolutions passed throughout the Hudson Valley. Again, like we just said, Poughkeepsie, Beacon, Newburgh, we got Ulster County, Columbia County, we got all the way out in Ellensville. Through the village, we were able to get a clean slate resolution. So we have a ton of different support system. Again, the sheriff in Ulster County also mentioned that he talked with the Sheriff Association, who was in support of clean slate. So we're going to officially be having a conversation with them to get there.
On the state, the sheriff's, on the state level.
Yeah, so we're going to reach out to them to get their full-on support, because he had a personal conversation that he shared back with us that they were in support. So we're going to have a full-on conversation. And from what we're hearing in the state, that we are looking promising. This year, we were mentioned again in the people's budget for the second time. So the Senate and the Assembly thought it was necessary to put us inside the people's budget. Last year, we was in the state of the state. So there are so much that is riding on this and so much support coming from different angles that makes it look like we should be able to get it this year, but to be on the safe side, because I'd rather be safe than sorry, we're trying to get more municipalities to, again, join our moral tour, because this states our morals. Do we morally believe that people deserve second chances, or do we believe that once you make a mistake, that's your mistake, and you should live with it forever? And personally, I just feel the latter, especially dealing with New Yorkers. People jaywalk all the time. We're not really like trying to hold grudges here, especially when the judge already sentenced them to a certain period of time and they were able to complete that time, get released, stay home for years on end without committing another infraction. Again, those individuals who commit infractions during that time, that's on them. They go back to jail, they deal with the process. This does not affect that process. It doesn't slow down the process. It doesn't hinder that process. The only thing it does is the means to process real? When we're saying that people are going to jail to learn their lessons, we are now actually speaking the truth. Because what ends up happening right now in our current system is people go to jail and they remain in a form of incarceration. They remain isolated from the rest of the community. It is not home to what we tell our children to scare them. You be bad and you get punished, you learn your lesson. We don't continue to punish. We don't continue to have that perpetual punishment, because how does that better our society? It creates multiple types of people. We have felons, we have misdemeanors, we have actual human beings. We shouldn't have a different layer of human in our societies. And I would really appreciate the moral of this town in passing this resolution and joining the other towns and villages, cities and counties who have also showed their moral towards clean slate.
Very interesting and educational, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Any other questions?
No, I just, like, you know, I'm glad that they excluded sex offenders. And, you know, I'm completely for, like, anyone now, especially since the state has decriminalized marijuana, their conviction should be vacated.
They are.
They're not being vacated now.
So,
right. There's different level of crime out there. I think that's the, you know, I think that's a little bit of a, you know, it's a broad brush for me too, to be honest with you. Like you said, if it's the old Rockefeller thing and, you know, and you're in the drug thing, I think those should all, because those are nonviolent in nature for the most part. I mean, not saying violence doesn't, you know, isn't part of that equation at times, because obviously it can be, but
yeah,
I mean, those type of things, I got to do a little more thought on this and research on it myself, but I hear your point is, though, you know, if you did your time, you know, is incarceration punitive? I mean, we call it in New York State, you know, the correctional services.
Yeah.
I mean, are they retraining people so they can, you know, hopefully have a different outlook and a better chance at employment when they are released? I mean, I think that's important, you know, as well, you know, on how it works in the correctional services.
I mean, my
services, but
my entire thing, the one sticking point I have is my moral thing is murders.
I do too.
Victims never get that family member back.
Right. Or in rape cases too. I mean, I know, you know, people
that
have been sex offenders. Well, they're excluded. You said so that's important, because, you know, unfortunately, when people were victims and perpetrators as well, because their family and you hit on all those great topics. You know, their family, when, you know, a family member is incarcerated, they're not home with their family. They're not there for them. But also, in a lot of cases, I guess, if not all the time, the victims, you know, their parents not with them anymore, you know, where those, you know, those are lifelong experiences that they have too. So, I mean, there's certainly a balancing act out there. But I mean, I definitely hear what you're saying, though. You did your sentence, whatever that was. You got out on parole or probation, and then you did your 5 or 6 years. And again, it gets back a little bit to what Don was mentioning, is like, what's the success rate when you're in that level? I mean, do you stay on parole or probation for 2 years and you make it? You know, I'd like to see that number. If we're talking 5 years from everybody that got released, what's the percentage that make it to that?
Within 5 years is normally when the person recites and goes back. That's what the cycle means, right? Within that 5 years, they go back to jail, they come back out. It's the 3 to 5 years, that's when they commit the crime again.
Right.
Okay.
What's the number on that?
So we're saying that, well, I don't know what the number is, but we're saying that that's the majority, and we know that as the majority. That's
they're
the common sense.
Right, they're
we
not
know
qualified.
That that's,
they're not going to qualify.
So they're not going to qualify because they keep going back into that 3 years.
What percentage does qualify?
Yeah.
Is it 25, 30%, 50%? Just as a thought.
Right. And to speak more of the folks who would recite after like
the
7 or 10 years,
okay, yeah.
That's like a red herring. Like, okay, are we wanting to talk about this irrelevant group of people,
right,
who have nothing
not
to do with this?
They have
nothing versus the individuals.
We're talking about
seven,
10 years. This is not going to happen for a person for 12 to 20 years after. right? This is when it happens, 12, 20 years. Those are the people, once they're out, they're trying to get their jobs. Like, the only reason that they would commit crimes is because they can't get a job, because they can't get a house, get into housing. Those are the reasons why people recommit crimes. If we're taking that away, we're saying that, okay, you're 5 to 7 years, you're good. Now this 10 years starts, and you're good. You're not getting arrested. You get arrested, it doesn't work. You get a felony for jaywalking, it doesn't work. You know, you get a felony, but you get arrested for felony for a jaywalking.
Unfortunately, in our system, it's too bad that we can't educate or find, before you even get there, you know, before you even get that first strike against you, that's the key to success.
Right, now we're about 3 to 5 years.
You know, that's really the root of it. If we can say, let's educate, can we get people, you know, into trades or, you know, before you commit those first 2 or 3, you know.
A system.
But I mean, I know we're talking past that point.
A system full of resources.
But the issue is not to get to that point.
Right, but we're talking about the people who don't get that.
And just to touch on where, like you said, that is a crime that is horrendous, and is the families will never see their loved one again. And again, the reason why I point towards Eddie Gibbs being an assembly member with a manslaughter, we have an individual who was voted in by his community who has a past of taking someone's life and did not take that and do 15 years and come home and look to get on the block again. He looked to be an example for his community. And he is not the only person within homicide that has done something like that. There are plenty of individuals who have done these types of things. And what we have to remember is people murdered are going to get released. People with robbery are going to get released. People with assault charges are going to get released. They are not going to remain in there forever. When people are released, though, how are we as a community going to show up to make sure that these individuals have access to a second chance and don't recite, don't commit another crime?
Right, don't put them in a position where they have to do
exactly.
Exactly. We want to make sure that everyone has an actual chance at freedom. I am someone that is really big on freedom. And I really want to just make it sure that freedom is real in America. In New York State, there are individuals who go join the army, who fight for this country, for our sense of freedom, yet there are individuals in their own hometown that are being denied and continuously being persecuted for crimes that they committed years ago. So today, this year, we are fighting for this to end, for perpetual punishment to end, for us to look at people as people instead of numbers, because we live in a system of numbers. As you're asking, what are the numbers? We live in a system of numbers versus individuals versus people. We really just got to get back towards there. And as we start to get back towards there, these bills are the moral doctrines of the state, of the municipalities that we are in. And the people, they embody these moral doctrines. That's why it's so hard to really convince people on different forms of politics. Because when you grow up on a certain level of politics, that's your baseline. That's where you're at morally. So as a moral, we need to come together and just like, what do we want to do? How do we want to show up for individuals who did not show up for the community correctly? Do we want to continue to punish them even after they showed us that they can do something? That they are doing something, because we're not speaking about individuals who just came home and did nothing. These are individuals who came home with everything against them, still overcame the odds. I feel like these people deserve a cookie, let alone clean slate.
No, it all depends on how the bill reads, too, you know, because New York State doesn't have a good track record on
his bills have been revised.
Yeah.
It's going to be. It's on the fourth revision. Yeah. So everyone who has said, I don't like how this is written, we said, you know what? It makes sense. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's rewrite it. Because we want to appease you. We want to make sure that you're comfortable.
I'm not saying about appease me. I'm just wondering. You know what I mean?
Not you.
New York State has a bad habit of passing legislation that's not good legislation.
Yeah, that's what
just to pass the legislation.
This one's being looked at and revised and revised. And right now, the way that it's written on the governor's desk, we really believe that this is the one that's going to...
And that's what's on this?
Yeah, that's the one that's on there.
Yeah, I'd be 100% honest, I'm more for this than I am for Governor Ford.
I'm more for this than I am for Governor Ford.
So that's a funny thing I should mention, because the governor, the office, is more for this than Governor Ford.
Okay.
And we've actually been hearing through our grapevines that if it's this or Bell Reform, they're definitely going to pick this and probably go back on Bell Reform.
The one thing I'd like to see addressed more is the mental health issue. Because
Well, that's true.
That's
something
half
that,
the reason for this.
That's a whole other.
Even in our town, we can discuss.
No, but that's half the reason why there's people in jail.
I'll send you Daniel's log, and we can talk about that next.
Because that's it.
We have MCAT that's not really doing what it should here. I mean, there are a number of people. I told you that story about the young girl who wanted to commit suicide at the high school, and MCAT said, well, we're not going into houses right now. And then they said, just call the police, and that was it. And then the police showed up to this 13-year-old girl's house and scared her. And then we have an issue with mental health services, and we have an issue with the county is giving them money to exist, and we don't see any kind of visual of them out there doing what needs to be done. So,
but just talking about how to reduce the first attempt, the first problem.
Yeah.
If we address mental health, that reduces the first problem because half of the crime is committed because of mental health issues.
And I definitely want to
but there's no solution for it because, right, because if they take you out on a mental health thing, they bring over to Hudson and in 4 hours they're letting you out the doors because they don't want to deal with it either.
I'm
it's
underfunded. I'm going to see that in the hospital level, they don't have enough beds or staff to really deal with it.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's not enough money for them, right, and not enough services, and then also some of the people that they hire are not really that experienced in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we're putting people who are brand new coming out of, like, college where they sat for like 6 years and they're coming out and they're putting them in a position that they don't really have the hands-on training. Meanwhile, in Vermont, they have, they've worked with sociologists, psychologists, social workers, and created an MCAT that way. So they have like this mobile unit, crisis unit, that goes out, but it's all sociologists or you know psychologists, and they work with these kids already. So they're the ones going into the houses. They're the ones going with the police and
you
have
that
kids.
In Ulster County.
Right. We don't have that here, and we have yet. We're putting a lot of money into mental health.
And that's what Damon's Law will create out here. We create that system of a first response system of social workers and people who are trained and are responding to these things, and they'll also be able to respond to like substance abuse situations that also make up a large amount of like the calls and stuff like that. So there are things that, as we are working on these things, we can definitely bring them in front of you, and just knowing that mental health is something that you all are really passionate about, I definitely will work on a resolution around naming law with you all, but today.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I do want to just end with is that, you know, we are asking the town of Casco to join the many towns and municipalities that we have gone this resolution passed already. This just was the says to Albany, hey, look, Green County is even behind us. You know, the town of Casco is behind us. And that's what we're trying to do. So,
have you gone to the county?
We haven't gone to the county yet. We're going to the village in 2 weeks. And we already have two people presenting it in the village. So, I mean, we're working on this. We're really trying to get. And another thing that I've been hearing since I've been involved with this is it's a common sense bill. And I love the fact that people say that. And I hear people who are Republican and Democrat saying this. It's nonpartisan. It's a common sense bill. So just want to leave that with you and say that.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay. Appreciate you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else to the round table? Patrick, any other to them? Here?
Nope.
Paul?
So you guys will come back on this, or?
Yeah, we'll probably have to put a resolution together
okay.
In our next meeting.
Cool.
Also, there's this whole time to read the bill.
Yeah. I do want to do a little bit more of looking at your Q code. And but everything you mentioned was, you know, taken seriously, and you made a lot of, you know, good points. It's kind of, in some ways, it's like, you know, they don't, if you got a suspended license, they took, you know, and you didn't pay,
So how are you going to go to work to pay the fine type? It's the same type of thing on the suspension. And I got, you know, people, friends and family in law enforcement, and they're for that as well, because, you know, the next day that person that got suspended, they still need to go to work to make money, or they can't pay the fine anyway. So, I mean,
if you have questions, just, and if you read it and you're still like questioning something, or you see something that you're like, maybe he's not thinking about this, write it to me, please, write it to us. I'll send it to Luki as well, and we'll put us all in communication, and we can talk about that together.
My first form of advocacy was working on my appeal. I did not truly get involved into advocacy until I lost my friend, because he also came home from prison. He was applying for jobs after jobs after jobs, and ended up starting to sell drugs again. And he was killed in a bad robbery for those drugs. I could sit here and ignore, like, the situation and just be like, nah, my friend was, like, he made poor decisions. He wasn't trying. He was trying. He was trying really, really hard. And it's hard to try when you're sleeping out of your car and your kids are in public housing, but you can't live there, but you've got a felony, you're on parole. We need to make our system make sense. And like Elliot said, this is a common sense law, because right now our system just really doesn't make sense. And I don't want to just drown you all with bad stories, because there are bad stories on both sides. People go to prison for bad reasons, and I'm not taking that away. However, when they're released, after they've shown reason that they deserve to remain in society, let's not keep them in society with handcuffs on, because it's weird.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to end it.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we get a motion to close the meeting.
Motion.
Motion by Paul.
Second.
Second by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion.